Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Hope everybody's having a phenomenal day. I can tell you I am. It has been a great weekend. Father's Day weekend. It's always crazy. I'm going to do a shout-out to my daddy because I did not call him yesterday on Father's Day. Matter of fact, I didn't see my end of the day until late last night. That's what happens when you have so many kids. But I love my pappy and would not trade him for anything. And I plan on chatting with him a little later today. But we're in Tom's book. We're actually closing down towards the end of the book, Timeout, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. And I truly do pray that you have gained something from this series, that there are nuggets of wisdom that Tom has written or things that I have shared that have caused you to ponder, caused you to look at where you're at and where you want to go. Today, we're in chapter 16, Play Like a Champion Today. And I think sometimes we go through life reading books, listening to CDs, reading DVDs, and we really don't slow down enough to digest and utilize what's there. Tony Robbins once made the statement in a book I was reading of his where he said, you know, less than 10% of the people finish a book. And I found that mind-boggling at the time, and maybe it was because I grew up with very little TV, and all we did was read constantly. That I could not fathom not reading a book. I was going through some things this last weekend as I was cleaning up one of our small studio apartments for our sons, and I was looking at all the awards that I had won in reading programs during the summer. I just loved to read. So when I thought about today's show, I thought, man, how many people would not have read this book? But thank goodness we've got technology that allows me to talk about it. See, today we're talking about commitment. See, to play like a champion, you literally have to be committed to what the outcome's going to be. Tom opens up this chapter like this. He says, what is commitment? Many people have different definitions, and I'm sure a few people even tweak their definitions of commitment depending on how much they want to achieve a goal. To achieve your goals and your dreams, you will have to have one thing above all else: commitment. In the dictionary, it's defined as an act, agreement, or a pledge to do something. Here's Tom's definition: do whatever it takes ethically, morally, and legally to get the job done. I thought about that for a minute. See, Tom wants to put it in a box. He wants to say it's got to be ethical, moral, and legal to get the job done. Then he goes on and he says this. Think about it for a minute. Will you be willing to do whatever it takes to accomplish your goals and your dreams? Now, let's go back to that first chapter. Ethically, morally, and legally. See, I pondered that for a long time, especially as I read this morning how a 12-year-old girl was detained and arrested in Afghanistan wearing a suicide bomber's vest. See, I wonder if in her mind, even though she's only 12, was that ethically, morally, and legally correct in her viewpoint? Or maybe in the viewpoint of her parents, was it morally, legally, and ethically correct to have this little girl wear a vest that's going to explode and kill her? And you may be saying, Troy, this is freaking morbid. Why are you bringing this up? This is supposed to be a positive radio show. This is why I'm bringing it up, because I've analyzed, I've continually focused to try to figure all this stuff out in my own mind. So I believe Tom is right. It has to be ethically, morally, and legally sound if you're going to reach the objective. In Tom's case, the goal. See, if you're going to take it to the next level, but where I'm finding people having issues in today's 21st century society are on those three words: ethically, morally, and legally. See, some things are legal, but they're not ethically or morally sound. Some things are ethical and morally sound, but they may not be legal. And I think that these three words cause more people to stop focusing on their outcome than is necessary. So I believe if you want something bad enough, if it's truly what your God-given purpose is in life, there's not going to be any question about ethically or morally or legally. It's going to be a matter of, you know, this is your purpose and your calling and you're going for it. See, I love the way Tom always opens his chapter because it really makes you ponder and think where you're at. See, in his third paragraph, he really hits it home. He says, in life, people are motivated by three different reasons: purpose, recognition, or money. Purpose, recognition, or money. Notice how Tom does everything in threes: ethically, morally, legally. Purpose, recognition, money. See, I did a study, it's going out in my newsletter this week. But top leaders who have been driven to succeed in business did it because of a purpose. Something they wanted to accomplish that was bigger than themselves. Something they felt was their passion, their total profession. I've told you guys over and over, I have people all the time say, Troy, you need to go build another business. You need to go build a company. Come join our company. We'll give you a deal. You can be a master distributor. We'll work something out. Man, there have been some great offers. And after my last stint with Ignite 360, I learned that is not my calling in life. My calling is to be an ambassador, the biggest advocate in the world, if you will, for direct selling. Because I believe the men and women that make it up as a profession are the greatest home-based small business entrepreneurs that the world's ever seen. And I want to make sure that we get all the information into their hands to succeed. It's not right for everybody, but it's right for me. That's my purpose. There's people that do things for recognition. Tom talks about the authors and the musicians and the movie stars. And I pondered this as I was reading through what he had written. I thought, man, this makes a lot of sense. See, it also brings up a concern. When you're ego-driven, and we're all ego-driven to a certain degree, so don't get on a tizzy yet. Listen, if you're ego-driven, then when you're out there as an author or a musician or a movie star and criticism comes in and it's negative recognition versus positive recognition, you can actually implode on yourself. I think this is why we see certain actors and actresses that go a little haywire, is because when the negativism starts to hit, they don't know how to deal with that. They're looking for that affirmation. They're looking for that positiveness. And there's nothing wrong with that. I believe people will do more for recognition than money any day of the week. And I believe with corporate America not recognizing some of the greatest people out there, we all, to a certain degree, thrive on recognition. Matter of fact, if you're a man, I believe it's part of your makeup. It's just the way you are as a human being. You need that. You need people to say we're proud of you to a certain degree. But the third thing is the money. And see, the money side of it's even more interesting than the recognition, because if you're driven with a motivator, number one, of money, I've got to have the things, I've got to have the money, I never, ever want to be from the poor side of the tracks. I don't want people to know. It's all about how much I have over the next person. You know, there used to be in the late 90s, I think it was, a bumper sticker that said, he who dies with the most toys wins. It was that concept of greed at the time. And I pondered this and analyzed it. And I realized that he was right. Tom, in this case, has put it all together. And he put it in the right order, because I believe it is purpose, recognition, and money. If you want to accomplish what we all, to a certain degree, call the big why, if you want to accomplish the goal, the objective, whatever you're going after, then your why has got to be huge, which means it's got to line up with your three motivators, whether it's purpose, recognition, or money. I'm in a profession that's inside of an industry that is really just a marketing channel called direct sales, MLM, network marketing. And many, many times I hear people say, it's about the money story, it's about the money story. But yet my statistics show that it's not about the money story. It's not about the fancy cars, the big houses. Oh, yeah, those can be a motivator for us all. We all like to dream and fantasize. But at the end of the day, what I've learned is it's about independence. It's about being able to pay the bills and get rid of the debt. Then you start to look at some of the additional things that are out there and say, hey, that'd be pretty cool. See, too many times, the so-called leaders in our great profession, they create their training and their marketing around what worked for them, what their motivator was, and they never give into account what other people's motivators might be. When Tom talked about recognition, as I said earlier, it reminded me of corporate America. Because, see, in corporate America, you don't really get a lot of recognition. Every now and then a pat on the back. Maybe if you can last 30 years, it used to be 20, but now it's 30. You get a gold watch and a partial pension plan. So people come into direct sales, they really get psyched with all the recognition. But see, here's something else that ties the two together where I can show you Tom is really right on the money on this. Over 80% of the humans that are in direct sales are female. And females have always, throughout history, had a glass ceiling in corporate America. So when they come in to direct sales, they really do seem to thrive because they love the recognition. They're doing something because usually they'll join a company that goes right along with their purpose. And the money follows, and they stick it in the bank. I was talking to a young lady not too long ago in March. She averages somewhere between $300,000 and $400,000 a month in income. And as I was talking to her, I said, you know, with the trouble that your company has had over the last 18 months, I want to ask you a question, and it's very personal. And if you don't want to answer, just say so. Just please don't be offended. And she said, no, man, go ahead. I said, have you spent all that money, or are you prepared for a rainy day? And you know how girls are. They just kind of snicker when they're embarrassed. And she's one of the, I mean, she is a class act from the word go. And she said, Troy, I've been putting money away like crazy because I don't know what's going to happen. She goes, but at the same time, I love shoes, so I still continue to buy shoes every now and then. And she has. She's ready if something was to happen to her company. Unlike a lot of men, when I asked them the question, they said, good gosh, no, man, we've blown through everything. We're 2 weeks from bankruptcy. See, it's funny when we look at the motivators and what works and what doesn't work. And you've got to be cautious on that. The third motivator that we look at is the money motivator. And we're going to get into that because it kind of goes with the recognition motivator. But when you're looking at the recognition motivator and you realize the difference between men and women, and you really do take a backward step and you look at Hollywood as an example. In the old days in Hollywood, and I know this because I watch so many old movies. In the old days, in the 50s and the 60s, when TV especially was just getting into its prime, you would see the same actors and actresses almost on every show. Sometimes they were the lead actor or actress. Sometimes they were the supporting lead actor and actress. Sometimes they'd start out in a supporting role, and then they'd come on board as a main character. It was funny. But as Hollywood, Tinseltown as they call it, grew, more people showed up. Competition got tighter. Now all of a sudden there's less roles at the top. They're looking for that box office draw. They're looking for those ratings on TV. And in doing so, more and more critics started coming out of the woodwork. Oh, they did great on that one, but this one sucks. Oh, they're just lousy. And more people around the actresses and actors in Hollywood started to be motivated, I think, by the third motivator, money. And I look at some of the young actors and actresses, and I see what they're doing, and I think of all the little situations that came up. You know, you've seen girls with super mini skirts showing off their little private treasure chests, and you see all this stuff going on, and then what happens is the media runs rampant with it, and all of a sudden they may have had lousy box office hits the last couple of years, so all of a sudden the only recognition they have is negative recognition, and they thrive on it, and the people around them continue to make money with photos, with articles and stuff like that. And I pondered this for a while, because I said, is this the negative side? And I believe that when you're motivated by recognition, it can be both positive or negative. I think of one young actor that I've watched over the years, Ronnie Howard. Started out as a childhood actor on Andy Griffith, became a young teenager and young adult actor in Happy Days, and went on to produce some of the greatest hits of the 80s and the 90s. He wasn't motivated by the money. He was motivated by his purpose to create life-changing movies that would affect people's lives. You take one of his partners during the late 70s, early 80s, Henry Winkler, the Fonz, as we call him. Henry went on to produce some great, great shows on TV. One such show was MacGyver, that went on to become a critical. I mean, people just love it today. They'll say, hey, did you MacGyver that? I mean, it's got a cult following. One of his other shows was called U.S. Marshal. Didn't do as well, but it was critically acclaimed. Now you can find Henry doing supporting actors roles on movies on the Hallmark Channel. I use these two because it's about their purpose. I'll use my wife. My wife has never written a book based on recognition. Matter of fact, to a certain degree, she doesn't even like it. Made me change the address of our home when a fan called our house and said, oh, I saw your article in the newspaper and just wanted to call you and see if I'd come by and meet you. Paige goes, no. She writes because God gave her a gift that has touched the lives of women. And I've watched her, as she's written her books, get stressed over the type of money-hungry type people that are in the author business who call themselves Christians and say they're writing for God, but yet they get greedy. But then I've watched her cry when a fan mail comes in. And a lady has said, your book helped me so much, I wish I'd have read it before I went to prison. See, Tom hit it right in this chapter. Purpose, recognition, money. Those people that are driven by money usually fail. One such person, and his name's a foreign name, and I can't tell you what his name is. It was kind of like Bernie Madoff, but it's not. But basically what happened in the 80s was he was a snot-nosed little wet-behind-the-ear kid, and he started a carpet cleaning company called Triple Z Carpet Cleaning. Took it public, but there were no assets. It was a Ponzi scheme. Had the fancy cars. Took in, I think, $500 million he scammed from people. Driven by the money. Went to prison. In prison, now this is where my cynicism comes in. In prison, he gets Jesus. He comes out, gets him a degree off the internet. Starts him a church in southern Florida, I think it was. Maybe California, San Diego, I guess. San Diego's where it's at. And then he starts a fraud investigation company. He's going to go and show people companies that are trying to defraud them, and he works as an informant with the FBI and the SEC as part of his plea agreement, I guess. And he worked with a couple other people, and they came into the direct selling niche, and they started going after publicly traded companies that use direct selling as their marketing. And he'd play with their stock. He would put out negative press releases why he was buying some fancy investment things. And what would happen was he'd drive the stock price down, and he would make money doing it. Made money hurting other people. This last month, he was convicted once more and is going back to prison. Money. If you're money motivated, history has proven that it will not last forever. When you look at the greatest people in the world, J. Paul Getty, Rockefeller, the DuPonts, J.C. Penney, the boys that started Home Depot, you look at the family that owns Hobby Lobby, and you want to know what they do. They constantly make profits, more profits and more profits and more profits every year, and they give it away and they give it away and they give it away and they give it away. Because it's not about the money, it's about changing lives and people. My good friend Orrin Woodward is getting ready to towards the end of the year, launch a new company that's going to be driven on the purpose of changing 1 million people's lives throughout the world off leadership principles. I told him, I'm in, man. Let me know how I can help. See, when you look at your commitment, what is it that drives you? Because if you're not committed, if you're not living in a balance of what your true passion and purpose is, what God's called you to do till the day you die, here's what's going to happen. You're going to have health issues. You're going to have mental issues. You're going to have money issues. We're not going to have to worry about ethically, morally, or legally, because you're not going to be able to do anything. You're going to become a total chaotic confusion. You're going to be pissed off at people all the time. You're going to be lethargic in your processes. And you inside, you're going to be saying to yourself, I know there's more that I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do it. I know God's got something for me to do, but I'm just not going to do it. And you're going to live just, it's kind of like hell on earth, I think. Because I believe that we were created to be doing something towards our purpose till the day we die. I do not see anywhere in history the word retirement until about the 20th century. We weren't supposed to be retiring. We were supposed to be continuing on with what we were out there to do. We were supposed to be committed, playing like a champion. That was the key. Play like a champion. And if that's your intent, and you're driven by that intention, then you won't have an issue. I'll use a prime example. I can remember being 22 years old. I remember, first of all, being 16 and watching Paige walk up a ladder with her cute little butt as it wiggled in front of my face because I was climbing the ladder behind her. My intent was to date that girl. And that really was my only intent at the time. Her intent was to finish college. She went her way, I went mine. At 22, I had the opportunity once again, through God-given circumstances, to come back together. And at 22 years old, I had a lot of intentions with that young lady. And I believe over the years that I've enjoyed every intention I ever had with her. But I also know that over the last 24 years, we have both changed. We're not young, sexy, crazy kids anymore. We now have kids of our own that think they're young and crazy and sexy. The time that we used to have together where she was mine and I was hers, and we didn't have to worry about all the kids running in or the grandkids running in or going on drives and the kids wanting to go all the time. Those days are past for a while. But our commitment has never changed. The commitment that we have for each other is still driving our relationship. I look at my mom and dad a lot. I because I'm not where they're at yet. You know, they've got both boys out of the house. The grandkids don't hang out with them anymore. They just kicked the last grandkid out and sent him back to me because he said he's my son. I'm teasing. They didn't do that. He came down on his own. But they get the two of them. Mom called me early this morning, had a question, and she said, "Man, yesterday we sat there and watched 5 hours of Bonanza." I sent Dad. Dad just loves old Westerns, and that's why I read so many of them. So for Father's Day, I got him a bunch of CDs or DVDs or whatever the heck they call them on Westerns and old Mafia, Al Capone and stuff, and he enjoyed that. They got to sit down and enjoy that together. I don't think I've watched a whole movie in years. And when I do, it's with Jetty and Paige both beside me, and we're at the movie somewhere watching Transformers or something. And I smiled as I thought, man, there it is, Father's Day. And he's enjoying time watching TV with his life soulmate. I put up a song this week, and Dad doesn't have Facebook, but there's this song, and I'll never forget it, because it reminds me of my dad and his commitment. That's why I'm bringing this up, because he plays like a champion, always has. Last week, Mom and I were chatting about our early lives when it was just me and her. Because Dad didn't come into the picture until I was about 2 years old. And this song that I put up on Facebook that I dedicated to my dad, it's by a guy named Brad Paisley. And the basicness of the song is Brad's waiting in the hospital delivery room. And his dad comes over and puts his arm around him. And it's about the dad he didn't have to be. And Brad's saying, "I just hope I'm half the man." And it starts out showing where Brad was this little bitty two-year-old boy, and all these men would come around his mom because she was a single mom. And when they found out about him, they'd run the other way. But one man stayed and married them both. And I thought back of what must have gone through my pappy's mind. We're in the 60s. Here's this young, sexy woman with this little boy. And he's probably thinking, man alive, am I ready for this? I mean, she's a hottie, but do I want to take on this kid? I'm sure he thought that two or three times as a teenager. But see, he taught me about commitment. That's what we've all got to look at, is our commitment, whether it's in our personal life or whether it's in our business life. Are we fulfilling that purpose? Are we fulfilling our commitment? What's our motivator? What's driving us? As my mom was sharing last week, and as I was listening to this song over and over this weekend, I thought to myself, I couldn't have created a better dad. And you want to know something? This is the most hilarious part of this, and I'm going to let y'all go. If you put a picture of my daddy and me together, you'd never know that I was 2 years old when he told me, "You're my son." Now that's how God works. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. You be back here tomorrow with us, right here on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.